As we enter into most likely the last month of our meetings, we're still deciding when to end itself, whether end of October or maybe the beginning of November, but we'll let you know. One of the things that we hope to do also is possibly an outing for all of us. Yeah, we'll go to the museum again. let me confirm this. We're just exploring and we're just thinking about it. But we will let you know in time whether which date and when possibly we could consider going somewhere. But let me confirm things first before we decide. Okay. Well, I hope someone nigh has been a blessing to your own heart. As you recognize each segment, one way or another, they are actually connected. And today, even as we look at the 15th segment, we're also going to see how connected it is to the rest of the other segments. Well, let's pray before we carry on. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we truly want to ask that you will continue to open our eyes and enlighten us even as we study your words. We thank you for the psalmist who is so honest and candid about his struggles, even as he faced different challenges, the afflictions of life. We pray that you help us to learn from him that much more, and especially about what it means to relate to you. We pray that you will bless our time together. Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, let's look at this next segment. Let's read it once through, and then I'll raise up a few things for us to consider this afternoon. Okay, well, let's read from 113 to 120. Okay, well, let's read together. Ready, go. Your law. You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. Depart from me, you evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according to your word, that I may live, and do not let me be ashamed of my hope. Hold me up, and I shall be safe. And I shall observe your statutes continually. You reject all those who stray from your statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. You put away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore, I love your testimonies. My flesh trembles for fear of you. I am afraid of your judgments. Okay. Now, we want to continue to understand the spiritual status of the psalmist, right? It has been very much a roller coaster, right? I mean, it's up and down and up and down. I don't know whether you've been to the Universal Studios Battle Galactic, what? Star Galaxy, whatever. Okay, and I remember going there, once, and this was with Kukum. He was here long time ago. Yeah, long time ago, and before he came to train, remember we did a musical about him or something. I don't know whether you remember that. And Pastor said, "Oh, why don't you take the afternoon off and go and maybe bring them to do whatever." So I thought, brought them Universal Studios, and so we to the roller coaster, and throughout the whole trip, I was looking at him, his eyes was closed, and he was like that, and hanging for his dear life. Well, sometimes that's what we have to do. We really need to hang on through the ups and downs, and you know, it's been a real roller coaster ride for this psalmist. There are times when he's able to find that focus on the Lord, he's able to, but there are times when there are, you know, his responses are mixed. he struggles, and then he's up, you know, and then after that, before he, you know it, it's down again. I mean, I think many of us, if not all of us, identify with that. We all struggle with our walk with the Lord, our status before Him. But there are times when we do grow and we continue to find that we are able to develop our faith a little bit more. Okay? Now, let's look at what he struggles again, you know, with. And 113, it tells us that there is the wicked, okay, that he has to deal with once again, right? And he says, I hate the double-minded, right? In 115, depart from me, you evildoers. Okay, so he begins to develop this sense of, an understanding and a response to them, right? This is how he feels about them. He hates, you know, he hates the double-minded. He has this sense of aversion, a spiritual aversion to these who are wicked, the evildoers, right? They spread all kinds of evil. They are double-minded. Okay, how are they double-minded? Well, 118 gives us a glimpse, right? You reject all those who stray from your statutes. So it's possible that these were people that once followed the Lord and followed His word, right? And at this time, they have strayed from His statutes, okay? And the psalmist, he seeks to deal with them. Well, this is the continuing reality, and we have talked about this many, many times. It's a reality constantly he has to face again and again and again. And there are worries. And, well, at this time, we are going to catch a glimpse about his relationship with God a little bit more. Okay? And when he faced these challenges, right, when you're faced with evil, what do? Right? This week, Putin decided, you know, he's going to call up 300,000 men, you know, to add on to their army. And what do the men do? Well, some resign to it, but some decide, okay, you know, I'm going to run. And that's what they did, right? They go to the next nation, and it's all in the news today. And that's a reality. Right? And for us, I think the best person that we can turn to is really the Lord. We're going to catch a glimpse of this a little bit more today and see what he seeks to do. Right? And we want to be able to learn to flee to God. Right? Well, let's look at 114. It says, you are my hiding place and my shield. Now, I'd like to take a bit of time to try and understand this a little bit. When you think about God as a hiding place, what do you think about? How would you understand it? And it's something for us to consider. We need to be able to look at other verses to help us understand what does it mean for us to look to God as a hiding place, right? Is it a physical place? Or is it more than just a physical place? So that's something that we need to determine first of all, right? Is it a physical place or is it more than just a physical place, right? And I think David gives us a glimpse. Let's turn to Psalm 31. Okay, Psalm 31. And 32 actually gives us a bit of a glimpse of what this means through the eyes of David, right? And again, for David, he is going through all kinds of challenges also, right? And verse 19, oh, how great is your goodness which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you in the presence of the sons of men. You shall hide them in the secret place of your presence from the plots of men. You shall keep them secretly in the pavilion from the strife of tongues. Now, I like this. You know, it gives us a glimpse as to what this hiding place is all about. What is this hiding place? Okay, Angela, what do you think? Okay. So first of all, is it a physical place? Can it be a physical place? Sometimes physical, yeah. Well, yes, to some extent, it is a physical place, especially for David, right? He hid in the caves and so on and so forth. But here, he talks about the secret place of his presence. Now, I like this idea of the secret place. What is this secret place? How would you describe this place? It is secret, right? In a place that... Sorry for stating the obvious, but, you know, it is a secret place that nobody else knows, right? So it is... Let's go beyond the physical. And let's consider it as a spiritual place. And it's called a secret place. You know, when I think about it, I always appreciate this idea of having your own little secret place where there is the presence of the Lord. Of course, we know that the tabernacle, the temple, that's where God dwells. And yes, so to certain times, yes, that is what is being referred to. But when you talk about you as the hiding place, the secret place of God's presence. How do you know that you are in that secret place? So that's the challenge. In the midst of all the difficulties that we all go through, right? I mean, for the psalmist, it is the afflictions of life. There's enemies. There are wicked people. I mean, for us, I mean, when I think about this wicked spirit, I think of Putin and, you know, he's really right up there at this point in time. Right, almost Hitler-like, right? He's really trying to take on Ukraine and even the world, right? And he's not backing down. And he's seeking to do all he can, right? And he sometimes gets to you, right? I don't know whether it gets to you. Sometimes you feel, wow, this kind of evil people, you just, you know, why do they exist? And you feel upset about that. But yet at the same time, you look at the challenges that we all go through in life. We need to find this hiding place. We need to find this secret place of the Lord's presence. And how you know that God's presence is there with you in that secret place. Right? And it is something that we all need to discover for ourselves. Well, let's think this through a little bit more. Right? It says here, you shall hide them in the secret place of your presence, right? You shall keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of men. Now, let's turn to Psalm 32, just the next psalm. And of course, we're all familiar with this psalm. And then it says here in verse 7, you are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. Again, it gives us a greater glimpse, right? That God will specially preserve him, surrounds him with deliverance. See, ultimately, God is going to deliver. And this is a very wonderful way to speak about God's protection, God's keeping, and his deliverance. And there are songs of deliverance that can be sung. And I appreciate that. Right? And then, now, let's go back to Psalm 119. And let's try and figure this out. When we apply it to the psalmist, how would this play out? How will we understand this? The hiding place right? You are my hiding place. And you think back. Let's try and connect it back to all the previous segments, right? One of the common things that we've been studying is what? What he had to go through, right? All the different afflictions, right? And so how do you know that? Because this is something that he has come to a point where he's able to say and tell God, you are my hiding place. So he has experienced it. He has experienced this secret place of his presence. So when did this happen to him? What do you think? Anybody wants to try? Right? He's been... You think about it and you figure it out. I mean, you try and understand it. He's been going through different times, right? We really don't know what is the span of time. It could be weeks, it could be months, it could be... We don't know. But he's going through affliction after affliction after affliction, right? But with each challenge that he goes through, with each time when he goes through this affliction, what did he experience? Right? He experienced God's mercy. He experienced God's deliverance. He experienced God as one who is his portion. Right? With each experience, right, that he is able to look to God, God reveals himself. God revives him. God shows his grace and in more ways than one. Right? And each time he's beginning to discover even more what it means to be in the secret place of the presence of God, the secret place of the Most High. Can you see this? And then he comes to this point and he says, you are my hiding place. You have been and continues to be my hiding place because of the things that I've been discovering, right? That in the midst of afflictions, Lord, you have been good and you do good, right? That he is able to discover that at a point in time and appreciate it. Isn't that in him being hidden by God? So it's no longer just a physical thing. It is a physical thing, but it is more than just a physical thing. It is really being in the secret place of the presence of God. And how do you know that you're in the presence of God? Right? It is when you are really able to appreciate who God is. You know, it's like you're dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. He's there. He reveals himself. Right? He is one who is eternal. He's one who is all wise. He's one who has given us light. Each time when you discover something and you are there in the secret place of the Most High. Can you see this? Okay, some of you look a bit. Sham, what do you think? You understand what I'm trying to... Yeah. What is it that you are... What do you think? Right? Psalm 91 should come to mind. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. He who dwells. Right? And then later on in verse 9, he says, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, your refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. You make the Lord your dwelling place. Let's turn to Psalm 91. Right? And verse 1, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Right? And then he talks about refuge and fortress. And then verse 9, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you. Can you see this? I mean, I like this idea. And even as I was pondering over this again, and I mean, just to be in that secret place of the presence of God. Right? And all along we've been studying this. Right? One of the key things in the first segment, what was that? Concerning God. If you can recall. What was the key thing about the first and the second segment? What was common about the first and the second segment? If you recall. Blessed are the undefiled, right? And then, who? Seek him with the whole heart, right? The idea here is that when we are in the presence of the Lord, when we seek him, when we seek his face, it is there is that secret place of the Most High. You know, just now, Pastor was just talking about quiet time and things like that. And yes, we want to look at quiet time. We want to spend time with God. And that's important. But if you're just going to rush through it and so on and so forth, you ask yourself, am I really in the secret place of the Most High? Right? In the midst of the challenges of life, and we find that secret place where we are in the presence of God, and that there is nothing that is going to distract us, that our focus is just purely on the Lord, and we find a sense of safety and protection that comes because of us dwelling upon the Lord. Can you see what I don't know whether this is something that you experience or have experienced, something that we can actually search for experience for ourselves. This is what it means for the psalmist to talk about, you are my hiding place. And I thought, wow, that is something else. And ultimately, the protection will come. But it is really a spiritual place that we are looking at, a secret place. A place that we can... You know, you can be anywhere. You can be in church, you can be at home, you can be at your workplace. But it is the kind of focus that we have, right? That we are seeking to dwell upon the Lord in that secret place. Okay, any questions? You follow what I'm trying to say? Right? And when we are in that secret place, wow. I mean, for me, it is really being able to just to be able to dwell upon the Lord and to see how we can hide in him. We can flee from this world, from the dangers, from the difficulties, from the distractions, and just go into this secret place. Yeah, go ahead.
Pastor Mark, we talk about dwelling in a secret place, right? But is this secret place a place that you go to like once in a while to commune with God and then you go out to face the world? Or is it as you live your life, you're always in that secret place as well?
Well, there's something that we can... Of course, here in the context is really in times of difficulties and problems. Sure. So, yes, there are times when we absolutely, you know, because of the challenges of life, we want to be able to enter into this hiding place, you know, to go back to the Lord, right? And find this place of safety, place of, where we can find that focus on just dwelling upon the Lord, right? And sometimes it's in these moments that this kind of... experience becomes even more real, you see, right? Because the idea of the hiding place becomes even more significant. Because you need to be hiding from something, it becomes even more significant. See, that's why, to a certain extent, it is about those moments where you really need that safety, that hiding, just being able to find that moment with the Lord that is going to bring about, that safety that you will feel, you see, right? But yet, at the same time, can we not seek to find this a little bit more real to us consistently? It may be a bit harder because sometimes we don't feel that need to, you see. You see what I'm trying to say? In itself, because it's called a hiding place, we need to be able to find that safety from the problems of life, the difficulties of life. And sometimes it's only through that we turn to God in those moments, right? That it becomes even more real. Yet, at the same time, can we not seek to find that secret place with the Lord? He who dwells in that secret place. I mean, to me, it's you. Frankly, can we not wait until we are in real deep trouble, then turn to God in that way? You know what? There's no need to. But yet, it may not be as I won't say as easy, but it's just that the context of it may not push us to seek this beyond a certain level. I hope you get what I'm trying to drive at. In that it's called a hiding place, also tells us what it means to us. You see? And sometimes it's only through these kinds of challenges that we find the reality of God even more. But the problem is once that those challenges are gone, that reality of God is also gone, right? That's part of the problem. Right? And how you wish that we continue to have that kind of relationship with God. Right? But often than not, it doesn't go beyond a certain level. Notice it's only found in the afflictions of life. Not that you want to wish more afflictions upon yourself, right? In order to so-called stay close to God and things like that. But sometimes it does require that. I hope that somehow answers your question. But how can we not seek to grow a little bit more? Well, let's move on a little bit, right? And he goes on to say, "You are my hiding place and my shield." So the idea of protection is very much brought across, right? And Psalm 3, verse 3, another Psalm of David. "But you, O Lord, are the shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head." See, as king, he had a certain glory, right? But nothing compared to God's glory. And when he is able to have God as his shield, it also speaks of a glory in itself. That God will be his shield reflects a certain glory also. Right? And that's God's glory to him, which is far better than him being king. So that's something that we want to be able to appreciate. And the psalmist, in the same way, seeks the Lord as his shield. Right? In 119:116 tells us, right, "Uphold me according to your word that I may live." Right? So we also see David describing this, right, in Psalm 17:5, "Uphold my steps in your paths, that my footsteps may not slip." See, that's what David prayed for the Lord to uphold him in his journey, that he will not slip and falter. Well, the psalmist also sought the Lord for his upholding and that he is able to live as a result. Psalm 119, verse 117, hold me up and I shall be safe. See, this idea of upholding is so important. And it partly is because he has sought the Lord as his hiding place. Right? Because he has sought the Lord, he is his hiding place. We see also how God is one that upholds him. Right? He is able to look to God, uphold me according to your word, uphold me up, and I shall be safe. So we really am able to appreciate how the psalmist, as he goes through this life's challenges, afflictions, his relationship with God continues to develop. Right? There are times when he needs revival. There are times when he's able to look to God as his portion. There are times when he is able to see God as creator. There are times when he's able to see God as one who is eternal. Right? He keeps growing in terms of his understanding and knowledge of God. Right? Sometimes he's turning to God for his wisdom. Sometimes it's his light. And now he comes to a point where he looks to God as his hiding place. Right? Each segment is connected to the previous segments. But each segment is the development of the previous segments. You follow what I'm trying to say? And that's why it's, to me, Psalm 119 is actually very rich. It's not repeating. It does seem like it's repeating why he's still talking about the word of God and, you know, I want to keep the word of God, I want to keep the word of God. But actually, he is developing his faith and understanding of the Lord. And it becomes richer and richer. Yet, the struggles continue. Right? He's just being very human about it. The struggles continue. And the difficulties continue. Right? And yet we appreciate his responses. Right? He says in 113, I love your law. And he repeats this in 119. Therefore, I love your testimony. Okay? So there is that love for the Lord's word, and not only that, there is also that sense of hope. Okay? 114, you are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. So we see these responses that he continues to write about. You know, he's determined. He looks to God. He finds that love for the Lord's word. He finds that hope in the word of God. Right? See, each time when he discovers something, he finds renewal, a sense of love, a sense of hope. Right? He looks to God as one who is his hiding place. He finds hope in it. He looks to God as one who is his shield. He finds hope in it. And he's able to come to a point in verse 116. Uphold me according to your word that I may live, and do not let me be ashamed of my hope. What does this mean? Do not let me be ashamed of my hope. Well, he prays that he will never have to be ashamed, right? Because he knows that God will never let him down. His hope in God will always be certain. He's assured of that. I mean, to me, wow, that is something else, right? His hope is never going to be something that is vague that he will end up being ashamed of. Well, God will never let him down, right? See, the more he grows in terms of his knowledge, the more he's able to respond in a way that, that is appropriate. There's that love for the Lord. There is that aversion to the things that are wicked. He is able to find that hope in the Lord. Right? And we really don't want to lose hope in the midst of all kinds of challenges. We don't want to lose hope at all. And the psalmist, he is holding on. He is looking to the Lord, uphold me. He is looking to the Lord, be my hiding place. Again, he looks to the Lord. Right? And he renews himself again and again, that he would love the Lord, his word, hope in him. Okay, any questions at all concerning this? Right? Okay, then this last part, we want to be able to appreciate how he's able to fear the Lord even more. Okay, so we look to the idea of him being faced with all kinds of challenges, right? And he's able to flee to the Lord. He turns to the Lord in prayer. He looks to God as the hiding place. And then he ends with this idea of a fear for the Lord. Now, what is this fear all about? So let's look at 118. You reject all those who stray from your statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. So he's able to observe the judgment of God. Right? He sees how God rejects all those who stray from his statutes. Right? He deals with those who are deceptive, right? For their deceit is falsehood. 119. You put away all the wicked of the earth like dross. You know what dross is, right? It's really the waste that comes out of, you know, when gold is being purified, there's always this impurity. So that's what we call, what comes out is the dross. It is the waste and they are discarded, right? So God will put away the wicked just as dross is put away. Right? Ultimately, all the evil men that is out there, all the evil that you see, ultimately God will judge them. Right? Sometimes it's learning to wait upon the Lord. Sometimes it's really trusting in the Lord. But God will deal with them one way or another, ultimately. Right? And this is something that we see. And that's how he ends with 120. My flesh trembles for fear of you, and I'm afraid of your judgments. See, he stands in awe of God because God is one who judges, and he sees the judgment. He sees the judgment that is being meted out against these who are wicked. And you know, he is fearful of that. Right? Sometimes when you look at things that do happen to people, and not so much as we, oh, this is God's judgment and things like that. But when you see things happening to those that are evil, and you know, you just stand in awe of this, right? When God judges people who have done all kinds of evil things against the homeless, the orphans, the motherless, and so on. Right? The vulnerable, the poor, and God deals with them. We know that this is the judgment of God. And you just stand in awe of that. Right? This is something that we really want to be able to appreciate. Right? There's a greater sense of fear as a result. Right? We read about Ahithophel. Well, that's one example. Ultimately, God will judge. Even though he killed himself, it's all part of God's doing, right? You look at Judas, same thing happened, right? On one hand, he used to be with the Lord. Yet at the end of the day, there comes the judgment of the Lord, right? In the New Testament, you have Ananias and Sapphira, right? They were among the brethren. They were part of the brethren. Yet when they did something that was wrong before the eyes of God, before the Holy Spirit, and they were judged as a result. You know, when that happened, there was fear that spread throughout the church. Because God had to send a signal to everybody else. You cannot do that before Him. Of course, this is a New Testament standpoint. But can God judge? Sure. And when we see the judgment of God, we just stand in awe. Right? Because ultimately, in the midst of what the psalmist was going through, all the afflictions, he finds this sense of fear. My flesh trembles for fear of you. What is this trembling all about? It is a fear that is not only internal, but is also external. There's a sense of fear of the Lord. You're coming before the very presence of God. Right? So we catch a glimpse of how this psalmist is able to relate with God in a far more deeper manner. Right? That he's able to face the afflictions, the problems, the difficulties of life. Now, I mean, we will not have enemies and things like that beyond a certain level, right? There will be enemies, sure. But we will go through different afflictions of life, right? Are we going to be worried about these things? Are we going to be anxious? You know, it's important for us to flee to God instead, to run to Him, to turn to Him in those moments, right? That He will be your hiding place. I mean, to me, it's so wonderful to have that hiding place, that we can just be in the presence of God. What does it mean to be in the presence of God? And then maybe there's something that you want to think about and discuss a little bit more. What does it really mean to be in the presence of God? When we just stand in awe of Him, right? Where He becomes even more real. He is our shield. He upholds us. And our response must be one of love, right? A sense of hope, a sense of fear for Him so much more. This is how we want to respond to God. And that's something that I'm learning for myself. When I discover Him even more, there's a greater sense of desire to know Him, to love His Word a little bit more, to read His Word, because it gives us that hope no matter what we're going through. I don't know whether you read Grace Works this week. Well, one of the challenges that I had to face was, you know, all kinds of stray thoughts. You know when these stray thoughts will come? When you wake up in the middle of the night. Suddenly these thoughts just come. You don't even know why. I'm just enjoying myself sleeping and then it just comes. Seriously. The funny thing is that sometimes you wake up 4 a.m., you know, 3 a.m. and then funny thoughts come. I don't know why. I look at my wife, she's sleeping soundly and I don't want to bother her, but, you know, these thoughts do come. What do you do? Well, immediately you learn to turn to God. And you find that hiding place in Him. Right? And how do you know that you have found that hiding place? When you were able to go back to sleep. Because you keep worrying, you know that somehow you're not found it. But can we find that hiding place? The answer is yes. Where you are able to look to God and you realize, you know, it's all part of God's will. It is something that, you know, we really don't want to go there at all. And you just want to find that understanding in God. That is what it means to be in a hiding place. When you are able to find God so much more real. Because it is God's will. It is something that we can really appreciate about Him. And really, you know, to find that solace, that peace that comes in a more special way. And I hope that this is something that you will discover for yourself even more, as I'm learning also. Well, okay, let's pray before we go into our groups. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we just want to pray and thank You for this opportunity to learn that much more, to deepen our faith and our relationship with You. Thank You for the psalmist who sought to look to You as His hiding place. May we also learn to do so in moments of challenges in life, may we always seek to go to you, to be our shield, to you as one who can uphold us in the midst of our challenges. May we find a deeper love for you and your word. We pray that you will teach us to find this hope in you in the midst of our challenges. We pray that you will bless our time even as we discuss this a little bit more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.